All right, there we go. Amen. Thank you, Katya. Can we give her a hand for introduction? And she actually heard me preach, so that was actually a genuine excitement. Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm stoked for what they're going to say until they say it, right? So, no, I do want to let you know, Pastor Caleb, he's actually speaking again, like Katya mentioned, at our sister church, New Life Santa Rosa. And it's actually not our Filipino service. It's our Filipino pastors. They actually started a church in Santa Rosa. And it's a really cool story. They actually started a Bible study with some of their Filipinos who lived up in Santa Rosa. But then everybody started coming. So it wasn't just Filipinos. It was everyone, you know. And it's actually our sister church. Now they have a Sunday morning service. So Pastor Caleb's there bringing the word, so he sends his greetings, and you guys are all stuck with me today. Amen? Amen. Yes, that was weak, but it's okay. Forgive you already. No. We've been having a great time in this Foolproof Message Series. Anybody, can I get a witness, right? So much fun. Has anybody done anything foolish when they were a child or last week? Yes, today I did, right? I have this friend, right? When he was a child, for the most part, he was a well-behaved person, a child. You know, he didn't have a lot of attitude issues, you know. They said he was sweet. He had a lot of great parent-student, you know, conferences, you know, parent-teacher conferences for their students. You know, had a lot of great of those. My wife, on the other hand, she said she would, anytime she had one, when her mom would see her teacher, she's like, I was just hiding because I knew I was getting spanked, right? I don't know if you can talk about spanking anymore in church, but that was a long time ago. For the most part, I was a good kid. You know, I was pretty obedient. I don't like to break the rules. You know, it's kind of in me. I kind of have a hard time in that. But this one time, my best friend's parents, great. I think I spent more time at their house, like, the summer of sixth grade than I stayed at my house, right? They got a toothbrush there, a bathing suit there, a towel there. Like, it's like moved in. I had a spare bedroom that was mine, right? But I remember this one day, and they had a pool, great house. And they're like, she's like, whatever you do, I got to leave. Don't jump off the pool house into the pool, right? Somehow his older brother had taught us how to do this. And it was a ton of fun, right? But I remember looking back at it, it was a little pitched little pool house. And actually all it was like they had their pumps in there. So it wasn't really a house, but it was a little shed, had a roof. But it had an angle. And so you couldn't really just, it wasn't like a flat surface where you could just like jump, right? And it was kind of sketchy to go like this. So you kind of had to get a little running start, you know? And then I remember the diving board was here and the edge of the pool was here. And the only deep spot was like, you know, you didn't have a lot of clearance, but... So I want to apologize right now to Marcia and Bill Barthel if they're listening or YouTube. I remember right away, she's like, whatever you do, don't do that. And of course, that's what we did. You know, we did foolish things. Anybody remember BB gun wars? Don't raise your hand. You're like, well, it was like no headshots, right? No goggles either. We were real smart. And we're like only one pump, right? Like that doesn't hurt, you know? BB gun wars, if there was a fence, we wanted to climb it, right? It didn't matter what was on the other side of the fence. It was just a challenge. Didn't matter what it was. We're like, hey, we're climbing that fence, or we're climbing that roof. We love roofs. And Sun Valley School in Santa Fe, that's where I went to elementary school. Any Sun Valley people? Raise your hand. Yeah, Alyssa. Yeah, I know there's some of you guys there, but you know the back classrooms, they got a pretty decent roof. Right, like 20 feet, you say, Alyssa? Like 14 to 20 feet, I think. Well, we figured out a way to climb up on the roof. If anybody's familiar, you had to sneak into the kindergarten playgrounds. They had their own playground. So that was the first fence, right? First challenge, only about 6 foot, right? And then there was a shed there that you had to climb. And from the shed, there was another landing and then the roof, right? So we figured that out as kids, and the flat roof, fun just to run down, not just walk, we ran down that roof. One time, my friends had the greatest idea in the world. They're like, let's get our bikes up here. The police were involved, but I wasn't there that day, so praise the Lord. We did foolish things as kids, right? And maybe it was today. We've done foolish things. But God doesn't want us just to stay and play the fool. He has wisdom for us. Amen? So as we've been doing this, I just want to pray that we take a step out of foolishness and to step into God's wisdom. Amen? Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word is here. Lord, your word is alive in our hearts. Lord, your presence is here to, Lord, truly help us step out of foolishness and to jump in to the good things that you have in store for our lives. Lord, that we can jump into your wisdom. Lord, we can follow the plan that you have for our lives because you have good things in store for your people. Lord, so Lord, today, right now, Lord, wherever, whatever breakthrough we need, Lord, we just want to step into it today. All God's people would say, amen. So does anybody, again, you don't have to raise your hand. I'll ask you when to raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand for this one. I've seen myself in some of these fools we've been studying so far. Maybe just a little bit. Right, maybe it was a while ago. But you see yourself in these fools. Like the first fool was the simple fool. It's like that naive fool, right? Again, it reminds me as a child when your older siblings would trick you, you know, and tell you things that you believed for like way too long, you know. They're like, I should have figured that out sooner. But you were naive. You were simple. Talked about the silly fool and what that was. We talked about the sensual fool. You know, that was talking about how our carnal desires, our fleshly, earnest desires can actually become our God. And we'd make our decisions based on that and how we're called to more than that. Last week, we're talking about the stubborn fool, right, and being stubborn. Well, this week, what I want to say about these fools is that, you know, sometimes we learn from positive role models and positive examples, right? Like, hey, what to do? You get with somebody that's better than you and you learn from them. But also you can learn by people of what not to do. You know, you can do the opposite of what they're doing. You say, hey, that didn't work. That didn't work out for them. So I'm going to do something else. And that's one of the things that we're doing with the fools. You know, we're looking at that to contrast positive behavior. I think, again, I'll use my siblings as an example. I'm number 3 out of 4 boys. So I got to see what they did wrong along the way and not make that same mistake. I made plenty of my own, but you know what I'm talking about? You had older siblings, or were you the older sibling who did all the, got in trouble, right? And you can learn also what not to do. So that's how I want to look at this next fool today. So fool number 5 is the steadfast fool. In Greek, it's the Nabal. I'm sure I'm butchering that name, but that's as close as I could say it. And it really means stupid or wicked. Elsewhere, you know, in the Old Testament, it's translated vile person. Right, so this is one that we don't want to see ourselves in, right? But I think there's always an application we can pull out of it. Psalm 14, verse 1 says this. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This is that fool. So when you look up that Hebrew word, it's this word right here. Right? And so you might be thinking, I know I kind of thought this, so maybe it's just me, but like you're thinking, oh, like there's no God. Like maybe like they're referring to like an atheist in the Bible or something like that. Well, actually, that wasn't a popular thing when the Bible was written. It wasn't that they're like, hey, we believe in science and we don't believe in, you know. It wasn't like they had that argument. What this is referring to actually is somebody who says, you know what? I am not going to allow God into any area of my life. I'm not even going to acknowledge him in my life. I'm going to be like a God unto myself. It begins and ends with me. Right? So that's this kind of steadfast world where they've rejected God on so many different levels. They're like, hey, I'm on my own on this. You know. And then it goes on to say, fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And it says, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none who does good. The fool who said in his heart, there's no God. That's this whole idea. And I think one application I was thinking even for my own life is there's times when or areas in my life where I haven't wanted to ask God's opinion. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, hey, God, you know, sometimes I think we pray these prayers, like especially if we're single, like, is this the one, Lord? Right? And we have these questions that we ask God. Then there's other things we're like, I don't want your opinion, God. Don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to ask you. I don't want to invite you in this area of my life. And again, this school has taken that over a season to where you're saying, you know what? Nobody speaks into my life. Not man, not even the Lord. And that's a scary place to be. But again, we can learn what not to do. Amen? You guys still with me here? So steadfast fool totally rejects God and his ways. This type of fool is self-confident, closed-minded. He is his own God, feeling freely gratifying his lower nature. It is his goal to draw as many others as possible into his evil ways. Attempts to reprove him will be futile and bring frustration to the one who tries to influence him. Only God can successfully reprove a steadfast fool. So what this saying is, again, don't raise your hand. You might know somebody who has some characteristic like this, where they basically shut you out. There's nothing you can say or do. But guess what? There's still hope for these kind of fools. God can still reach them, right? But may not come from the direct confrontation. Maybe this is one you just got to go in your prayer closet and pray about. Okay? God can still reach them. Amen? There's always hope. Okay, so there's actually a man in Scripture in the Old Testament whose name was Nabal. And it comes to us from the story in 1 Samuel verse 20 or chapter 25. I'm actually not going to read that story today. It's an interesting story. I encourage you to check it out. But the guy's name was Fool. So if your name is Fool, change your name. Okay? Right? Or if your name gets associated with being foolish or something dumb, change your behavior. If somebody said, oh, I just pulled a biddy and it means I did something totally foolish, I need to change what I'm doing. My last name is Bitteretta, so people call me Biddy. So, or if they said, if I just pulled a buddy or if I just pulled, right? You know, I just got to tease buddy. It's cool. But if they just use your name and it means something foolish, you can change. You know, and this guy didn't change and there's consequences in his life. But again, this kind of fool is not teachable. Does not have humility in his life. So again, we want to do the opposite. If this guy is not teachable and doesn't allow input in his life and is not humble, we can be teachable. We can have humility flowing through our lives. Amen? Psalm verses chapter 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I find this very interesting that, you know, some of the best athletes that are the best of the best, right? I gave this example, anybody, MMA people out there, like, anybody knows, like, Ronda Rousey, she's, like, head and shoulders above everybody else in the women's division, if you know that. But she's got a ton of coaches. She's got a striking coach, she's got a jiu-jitsu coach, she has all these, you know, training, conditioning, diet, nutrition. She has all these coaches in her life. And sometimes we think we're like, oh, instruction is for the foolish, or when we're still naive, or we haven't arrived yet, for children. We're like, oh yeah, we've got to raise up the children, right? But it says, give instruction to a wise man. Wise men receive instruction, amen? That's how they're the best at what they do. They have people speaking into their lives. Amen? Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. James 4:6 says this. It says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I don't want to resist God. I don't know about you. I don't want God against me. I don't want to openly resist the Lord. So it says, but God gives grace to the humble. So again, we want to have... I want to talk a little bit about being teachable today and humility today, which would be the opposite of what this fool is today. One thing about humility is admitting when you're wrong. Sometimes we feel that this phrase, I was wrong. Let's all say this. 1, 2, 3. I was wrong. Sometimes it's like sticks in our throat. We just can't get it out. right? Or it's totally my fault. But we can practice today. Humble people admit when they're wrong. You know, we're not self-righteous. We're not get all defensive. We're like, hey, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. So I'm going to practice right now. Gotcha, honey. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Right? I don't know what I did, but I feel really good right now. I'll make it up to you, I promise. I'll redouble my efforts so this doesn't happen again. Right? Amen. I feel the wind of the Spirit on that. So all the husbands in the house, turn to your spouse and say, honey, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear anything. Come on, guys. A little bit louder. Honey, I'm so sorry. Okay, now say this. It was totally my fault. Come on. Yeah, there we go, buddy. Amen. Amen. Can you be 100% wrong when it's a miscommunication in your marriage? If you're a man, the answer is yes. Normally, it's not always 100%, but it's a possibility, right? You'll thank me later. You'll thank me later. But I actually want to do this fun little list. There's actually five. Just put the next slide up. I'll read it real quick. Five languages of apology. So guys, take notes. All right. Expressing regret. So but this is something we can practice. We can practice apologizing. We can practice humbling ourselves before one another. Expressing regret, that's as simple as saying, I'm so sorry. Right? And not like that. Like a childhood apology when your mom makes you apologize and there's you're not sorry at all. You know, you're saying sorry on the outside, but you're saying, I am not sorry on the inside. Any of moms have their kids do that, right? Any children have to do that? Okay. The second one, accepting responsibility. Again, that can just be like, hey, it's my fault. My bad, right? And sometimes we just never want to accept that it was, we had something to do with it, or it was my fault. The third thing, making restitution. I don't normally start with this one, okay? This one comes down later in my life, but again, this might work for you where you say, hey, I'll make it up to you. What can I do, you know, to make it up to you? Make restitution. Genuinely repenting. Now, this is the hardest one, okay? What repentance really means, it means like you're going one direction and you're doing an about face and you start going the other direction. It means like taking a U-turn. But it actually, in its ultimate fulfillment, really speaks of changing the way you think. Wow. So you don't do that again. You don't even think that again. Wow. All right? And so I think sometimes Christianity, we're like, we got to get it in our heart, not in our head, or our head and our heart. It's like, it's the same thing. You know, just get it in there, okay? Just get it in, right? But changing the way we think, genuinely repenting. And that's like, again, in a situation you'd be like, hey, I'm really going to redouble my efforts to make sure this doesn't happen again. I'm really going to try to grow in this and do that. And then requesting forgiveness. So again, that's we need to do that. We need to ask for forgiveness when we need it, even when we don't need it. That's a good idea. So again, that's just a fun thing today. But these are things we can actually practice. Can we say we're sorry? Can we apologize? Can we admit that we're wrong? All part of that is humility. I personally believe the reason that the Lord called King David a man after his own heart was David's ability to receive correction, repent, and make a change. All right, that's my belief. I don't think it was because he killed Goliath and he did all these other things. I think it was partially because he learned how to repent. You know, and I think it would be hard because I think sometimes we're like all so high and mighty, you know, and he's like the king of Israel. Like, you can't speak into my life. I'm the king, right? And I think we have this attitude sometimes where we want to pick and choose who speaks into our life, right? Because it's so easy for us to be like, oh, well, they got a ton of issues in their life. Right? Well, guess what? So do you. And if you had that rule going on in your life, the only person that can speak in your life is Jesus. Right? And then it would be like an audible voice, right? You know, God, unless you speak to me, you know, we can do that. I know there are times when people speak in our, like, sometimes God just picks the wrong people. Don't you think so? It's like, it's that one person that drives you nuts, right? But that's where we need to grow. I want to come to the place in my life where I can receive from anybody. Saved, unsaved, older, younger, you know. I just want to bring it before the Holy Spirit and say, God, is there something in this that you're speaking to me? But we really need to give people permission to speak in our lives. That's the other thing we can practice today. Katya, I give you permission to speak into my life, right? Church, today, I give you all permission to speak into my life. If you have any comments about the message or the service, just give me a week, okay? I will receive those emails, or you can come talk to me, but just help me get through this, right? But no, but I want you to speak into my life. I want to come into that place where I can receive from anybody. Where this guy, this steadfast, well, he couldn't receive from anybody, not even God. We're going to go ahead and watch this video clip, but before we do, I just want to say this. You know, sometimes one clarification I want to make when you're in relationship with people, when somebody's like ranting and raving and like going off on something, what I always try to do is ask them, I say, are you giving me permission to speak into your life? Or would you just like me to pray and listen? Right? So I'm encouraging us all to do that. That's something we can do, because guess what? If you speak into life and they don't want it, ooh, watch out. Right? Might make it a lot worse. Okay? But I encourage all of us to come to a place where we grow and we say, you know what? No, I do want you to speak into my life. And ask those people in those situations, hey, it's okay to have a sounding board or to listen to somebody go off and rant and rave and you know. It's like, but then we want to be, hey, can I speak into your life? Can I pray for you? Amen. So let's go ahead and roll this video. This is what happens when you don't have permission.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head. And it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
No, see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail.
See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like, there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on.
Ow.
If you would just...
Don't!
Try to see things my way.
It's not about the nail. All my sweaters are snapped. His response is so good. He's like, that sounds really hard. It's good stuff right there, right? And so again, you know, we got to know when we can just there to listen, when they want us to listen and pray. Is it better, worse? This way? Is that better? No? I can't see it, so. But he might have to fix it. But it's one of those things where, you know, we want to actually not just walk around with a nail in our head, right? You know, that could obviously be reversed the same way, where we have something and we don't see it or want to deal with it, but somebody else has that word of the Lord and can really help us. They might have a word in season, a word of deliverance, a word of transformation. And we're like, I'm not receiving from you, right? Well, wisdom, again, we talked about foolishness, and now we're actually going to go back to wisdom. What is wisdom? We talked about foolishness. We talked about the steadfast fool. But what is wisdom? We talked about in week one, go to the next slide, it's the skill to live life according to God's plan, right? And in the Hebrew word that's translated wisdom in our Bible actually originally referred to some kind of skill or ability. It was originally used to describe the work of weavers who were to weave the elaborate garments of the high priest. It was imperative that the weavers follow God's exact specifications for the priest's garments. Right? So that's this word that we get, this weaving word, right? Of following the pattern of heaven, right? And actually manifesting it here on earth. And it was imperative that they did that. So that's what this is. It's a skillful living. The thing about skills is you can learn them, right? Maybe you don't have that skill. Riding a bike, I know I wasn't born with that one, right? But I could ride a bike now, right? Swimming, I wasn't born with that one either. Now I can swim, right? And there's things that we can actually learn. If we don't have it, we get to practice, amen? Just like we practice forgiveness and doing those other things. Proverbs 8:30 says this. It says, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Right? And so one of the things about this is like this is talking about wisdom personified. And again, it has this idea of a master craftsperson being I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And one of the connotations here is like if there was an apprentice and the master, learning from the master. Right? Learning that heavenly pattern. How do you learn a skill? You practice. Right? Buddy, how many hours have you spent playing piano and guitar and singing?
Years.
Years of his life, right? No, but if you talk to any master craftsman, Kyle, can you go grab that for me? If you talk to any master craftsman, you know, you talk about a concert pianist or if you talk to a master oil painter or sculptor, if you ask him, how did you do this? Well, it's time and focused attention, right? It's really practice. You know, they did this one study about, you can just bring that all the way out here. This is one of my babies here. This is one of my custom surfboards that I built. And it's number 4. I built a few. This is number 4. I guess the last one. Actually, surf it too. It's a Mini Simmons if you're interested. Style of board. He talked me out. No, I'm just kidding. But I started surfing. Pastor Caleb got me into surfing, so I can blame him, right? But I saw these people making these wooden surfboards. I'm like, that's cool. I want to do that. And people are like, well, how did you get good at this? Well, I just started. I just started practicing. Again, everyone's got better. This is number 4, so it's better. You can see the first one at my house, or second one's all busted up in my garage. I am fixing it, right? You know, but each one has gotten better. But you just have to practice. You have to put time and focused energy into anything if you want to be skilled at it. My wife would probably tell you I've spent too much time and too much energy, right, doing something like this. You can go ahead and put it away. Thank you, Kyle. Let's give it up for Kyle. He's like my Vanna White, right? Revealing the numbers. But it takes practice. We can learn wisdom. The Bible says if we need wisdom, ask for it. We can ask. And this wasn't in my notes, and so I don't have the address. So I know it's in Proverbs. I read it this week. It was talking about, hey, if you don't have wisdom, it says even a silent person can sound wise as long as they don't open their mouth. So sometimes, like, hey, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? If you don't have anything wise to say, don't say anything at all, right? And that's a good place to start, but that's not where we need to be. If we don't have anything nice to say, we got to figure out something nice to say. We got to go to God. We got to get a word of encouragement. If we don't have any wisdom to share, we need to go to God and get the wisdom. Amen? But it's okay, like, to close your mouth if you don't have anything good to say. It's okay. It's encouraged. I encourage you to do that. encouraging myself. You know, somebody said, you know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? So we should do twice as much listening as talking, right? So I think that's good. I think that's good. Okay, how do we hear from the Lord? We talked about God's plan, right? What is wisdom? It's implementing God's plan for our life. Just like that weaver, the pattern is there. How do we get the pattern for our life? It's a good question, right? I think that's a good question. Well, how do we hear from God? How do we hear from the Lord? How does God guide us? Okay, I'm going to share 5 points. They're all going to be CS's to help us remember. And this is not like an all-encompassing list. This is not the only way that God guides us, but these 5 things help us get a grid to know that we're hearing from the Lord. So the first one is commanding Scripture. What has the study been on? It's been a study of the book of Proverbs. Right? We're actually going into the Word and saying, hey, what does God's Word say? Amen? We're actually saying, you know what? God speaks to me from this book. You know, and if he says something here, you know, like, for example, if you are not sure about a decision and it says it's not a good thing for you in the Scripture, guess what? It's not a good thing for you. Like, hey, is that the Lord? Oh, well, it says something else in Scripture. You can know. You know, that's one way that we discern. We don't need a word. We don't need an audible voice if it's spoken of in the Scripture. And that's the first thing that we should do. You know, I encourage you. You know, well, like I was saying, I was joking around, like, you ask the Lord, like, is this the one, right? You know, and it's okay to ask the Lord questions and ask him to guide us. You know, and I encourage you to go into the Word. The Scripture says marriage is an awesome thing, you know, but it doesn't say who to marry, right? And it's okay to go to the Scripture even when you have a question, but don't just be like, oh, it's Jehoshaphat, uh-oh, you know, or no, it's Abigail, you know, yeah, it's like, no, let me keep flipping, right? That wasn't the one I wanted, right? But sometimes even when we go to the Word, when it's not a specific thing, right, God can still speak to us. Just like if you've been in a church service, a pastor's preaching, and it was like you had a question about a direction in your life, and you feel like the pastor just nailed something. It was like, that is confirmation. Now I know where I need to go based on that Word. So get into his Word. He will speak to you out of his Word. It's the first place we go to for guidance. Or, hey, is this you, God? Get into his Word. Number one. Number two, compelling Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says this. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, it says Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Right? And, you know, if you haven't experienced the filling of the Spirit, right, sometimes we call it the baptism of the Spirit, you still have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Hey, we'll love to pray for you. You know, the Bible says to be filled daily, to be refilled. I like to say, like, there's free refills in the kingdom, right? Like, fill me up, Lord, right? And that's how we can go through life. But, you know, but if you're saved, if you're born again, if you've had that new birth in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit's inside of you, and he wants to lead us, just like he led the Lord. Sometimes you're just moved by your Spirit. You're Spirit-led, you know? And that is a good thing. That's one way that God, you know, guides us. And again, if it goes against what the Word of God says, it's probably the wrong Spirit, okay? Right? So everything goes back to number one. Number one has priority, okay? Number three, I love this one, common sense. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7, it says, he grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Sometimes I wish common sense was a little bit more common. Right? Sometimes it sounds like a misnomer or, you know, something like that. It's like a paradox. I don't know why. But like common sense, right? Should be more common. And I think sometimes as Christians, especially like Pentecostals or charismatics or charismaniacs or whatever you call yourself, or right? What's that? It's okay. You can shout out. Shout me down. But I think sometimes we can drop the ball here. God has given us common sense. He's given us a mind. He's given us logic. He's given us reason. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be led by the Spirit. But we don't have to throw away all frame of reference of common sense. Sometimes there's wisdom that he has us walk into that might not be conventional wisdom. It might be, you know, a different path than the norm. It might not be, you know, nine people are going left and maybe God is saying, no, why don't you go right? But it just doesn't mean that we just abandon common sense. Okay? Does that make sense? Number four is the counsel of the saints. Again, we were just talking about being teachable and asking, you know, people to speak into our lives. Proverbs 11:14 says this. It says, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety in a multitude of counsel. What this is talking about is if you're making a big decision, a life-changing decision, it's probably a good idea to go talk to some wise counselors and get the heart of the Lord. I'm not saying everybody is a wise counselor. There's a difference between, like what I said earlier, saying, hey, I want everybody to be able to speak into my life. I don't want to, you know, limit it to, you know, how old you are, how, you know, how long you are, in the, you know, if you're saved, unsaved, or whatever's going on in your life. But that's different than having a wise counselor. And I want you to think about right now, who are those people that you can go to? Like, I can go to Milt and talk to him if I'm making a decision. I have people in my life that I can go to and say, hey, I, you know, and again, it can be really practical. If you haven't done, like, you've never bought a house before, maybe you should go talk to somebody who has bought a house or has experience. Maybe you've never balanced your checkbook. Not that we have checkbooks anymore, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're not good with money. Maybe you talk to a wise financial counselor, right? These can be very practical things. You know, we can get those coaches in our lives. We can get those wise counsel in our lives. Doesn't mean that everybody has to agree with us, but we should have their safety in a multitude of counsel. Okay, number five is circumstantial signs. Does God ever lead us with signs? Anyone? Yes, he does. He can lead us, right? But if it's a big decision, maybe you need like four or five of these before you make it. If it's like cornflakes or Fruit Loops, you might not need any of them, right? You might not need to call the pastor and say, is it Colgate or is it Crest? You know? Just getting real here, right? I don't need a wise counsel for every decision I need to make. But if I'm making a big decision, it's okay. And actually, it's a good idea to ask for confirmation. You know? You say, hey, I have... And so, like, this circumstantial signs, I put it at the end for a reason. Because if that all is... If that's it... And it's a big decision. It's probably not a wise decision. Right, I think about Jonah when he was trying to run away from Nineveh. There was a ticket going the last, you know, another direction. And it was the last ticket. He's like, yes, I'm free. Right? There's a sign from heaven. Even though God was leading him to Nineveh, you know, all, he was resisting God the whole way. And then all of a sudden the people were like, hey, like, what have you done against God? You know, like, even these unbelievers spoke into his life. But signs can speak to us. You know, but again, that should be towards the end of our guidance process. You might not get all five. And again, you might not need all five. But it's okay to ask the Lord to bring confirmation. I didn't put a prophetic word on there. Right? And it doesn't mean that a prophetic word cannot guide us. But again, it should bring confirmation. I didn't want to even put that on this list in that way because I want to clarify that should come right alongside. That should, you know, bring confirmation that, hey, we are going in the right direction. If you just have a prophetic word and you got none of this other stuff, hold on, wait. Wait till the other stuff happens. Ask him for confirmation. Go into his word. Have counselors speak into your life. You know, is it common sense? Ask these questions. And one other way that I think a question that I want to ask us today is, you have the worship team. Why don't you guys just come on up? But I think sometimes we navigate life by saying this question. We're like, well, is this really bad? Right? We're about to make a choice. like, hey, is this, it's not that bad. Okay, maybe it's just me, right? Nobody's ever made that decision. Like, that second donut, that's not really that bad, right? And sometimes we make a choice and we regret it later, right? You know? And we're asking, is this bad or is this, it's not that bad, right? And I think the question we should be asking ourselves, is it good? Is it good? Is this going to encourage me? Am I going to feel better about this in an hour, tomorrow, right? Or is like that second donut where I did not feel good about. Actually, I made a good choice. I didn't have any donuts. There were some in the green room. I was also really thirsty, so I'm like, I can't do that. Coffee and donuts and have to speak, right? But I made a wise choice. Right? Maybe you think that's silly. It is a little silly. But what I'm saying is it good for us? Are we going to feel good about it tomorrow? Sometimes I think another way to see this is like, if somebody starts a sentence with actually, it's probably like a left-handed compliment, right? It actually wasn't that bad, you know? Was it a good movie? No, but it actually wasn't that bad. You're like, Pastor John, actually, it wasn't that bad you're preaching this morning, right? It could be a left-handed compliment, right? And again, I think we're sometimes asking the wrong question. Is this good? Is this encouraging? Is this edifying? Is this going to build me up? Is this going to strengthen my walk with Him? Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to share this piano metaphor, and then we're going to actually go into a time of communion, receiving the Lord's table here in a second. But I think sometimes, you know, we've been talking about the fools. We talked about, you know, learning from what not to do, seeing ourselves a little bit and what not to do, and but really making our lives foolproof. And again, it goes back to the scripture. Right? Going back to what does God's word say? I've heard different ways to talk about the Bible, like in Bible college. How many, it's like a fire, it's like all these things, right? It's like the water of the word. It's all these names for the Bible and scripture. One person called it an instruction manual for life. How do I do life? Where's the instruction manual, right? It's like when people get married, like, where's the instruction manual? Or when they have kids, where's the manual, right? Well, it's right here. Amen. It's right here. This is God's word. This is the instruction manual for our life. Oh, happy birthday. Yes. Amen. But again, that's what we're going for. We're going for God's wisdom, God's plan in our lives. Amen. And these tools here were today to help us, you know, to hear from God. Know the plan. And then guess what? We get to practice putting it into place in our lives. We get to practice implementing that plan. Amen. And I know sometimes it doesn't seem like we're doing anything good. Right? Sometimes we have so many questions. We got 100 questions, but we only have one answer. Well, what I want to encourage you is if you have 100 questions, but you have one thing you feel like God is telling you to do, do that one thing.
Yeah.
You don't need all the another 99 questions answered, right? Do that one thing. I heard this story of a young child. It was a journalist, and he was in a hotel. And in the hotel, there was a piano in the lobby. And he sees this little child, it's actually a girl, go up to the piano and start just plunking on the piano, right? No skills, like, you know, it wasn't like chopsticks. But have you ever heard like a child just like bang on the piano? You ever heard Pastor John just bang on the piano? Not too much different, right? And you're like, that is just like awful. And that's what this journalist is like, this is horrible. Somebody needs to make this child stop, right? But what happened afterwards is very interesting. A man comes and sits next to this girl on the piano bench. Doesn't tell her to stop. She's still plunking away. One note over here, one note over here, a couple weird notes over here. And he starts playing alongside her. Starts filling in those notes. Making chords. Actually taking some of her craziness and making a melody line. All of a sudden, this journalist said, this was the most horrifying sound to the best music he'd ever heard. Comes to find out afterwards, this was the girl's father. and he was a professional composer. He wrote, true story, the story is he wrote Prince Igor. It's an opera. I haven't seen it. Can't recommend it, but I'm sure it's awesome. And it's a picture of how it can feel in our lives, where everything we're doing seems disjointed. It's like one random note over here, and then one random chord over here, right? But we're like, what's the structure? What's the melody? Where's my life going? But if we're faithful to do those things that we know God is calling us to do, those good things, our Heavenly Father is going to come right alongside us, sit next to us on the bench, and fill in those notes, amen? He wants to make beautiful music out of your life, amen?